Well, good morning, 3CI. It's 7 days to go, and then we have our final offering, and we bring this unbelievable process to a close. Thank you for bearing with me through these last 5 or 6 weeks of open hands. And I just want to take you on the journey that we started nearly 3 years ago. It was a journey through the book of Chronicles. And I want to thank every single partner, every single participant, all our partners from around the country. But the 3CR people, you have been absolutely magnificent. And we're going to finish this project on the 30th, our final offering. And then we hope the government will give us permission to start meeting. Our certificates should all be in order. Town planning has approved us. We're just waiting for fire to come through and approve our doors and all those things. And then we should be AOA and ready to meet. But we're going to read the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, the scripture that we launched the building project on, and just look at the processes to get here. We're going to honor God, and we're going to start preaching on something different next week. It says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. It's the pinnacle of all the kings. He's the one who represents Jesus the most. He's a kind of fulfillment of Christ. And yet he's a man. And so wherever he's victorious, the Son represents Jesus. Wherever there's a bit of a weakness, it represents us. And so as we look through the book of Chronicles, we'll see that David has these sort of high and low points. But he's the kind of center point of this book, which is pointing towards Christ. And let's, for time's sake, let's pick up in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 6. It says, then the leaders of the families and the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. And we always said, friends, that this process will be willing, and I trust as we finish it, it will be a willing process. They gave towards the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonites. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And I want to say to all of our leaders, to all our elders, to all of our deacons, to all of our team leaders, you've set an unbelievable example. Our staff, Ricky behind the camera, Damien's busy listening. The guys have been absolutely colossal in this journey of generosity, and I think have set an unbelievable example. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything, gold, money, motorbikes, piggy banks, trust funds, salaries, everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as are all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand. And all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and you're pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I've seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. And every member of 3CI, every person watching this, thank you for your willingness. Thank you for your participation. On the 30th, we will come to the conclusion of this unbelievable project. I pray that every one of you is free, and yet you've participated wholeheartedly, freely, sacrificially, and willingly. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, the desire to be generous, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and do everything to build this palatial structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise be to the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and before the king. This, friends, is the pinnacle of the book of Chronicles. But the book of Chronicles runs in a number of ways. Firstly, there's Saul, and the people wanted a king, and God always wanted to be their king. So God was really sad when the Israel people called for a king because he wanted to be their king. So they gave them this guy called Saul, who was a donkey farmer, and he brought unbelievable harshness into Israel. And then God said, I tell you what, I will give you a king after my own heart, and he will be a shepherd. And so all these sons line up and they say, which one is the king? He says, no, the king is not here. He's in the fields looking after the sheep. And so God raises up the shepherd, David, in the line of Jesus. He is the descendant of David, the shepherd, this gentle-hearted man, this warrior that could kill bears and lions and Goliath. He raised up this unbelievable king to represent Christ because he had a shepherd heart. He had a tender heart. He knew how to lead young people gently. He knew how to lead mothers gently, and yet he could fight off the enemy. And so this David rises to prominence, and people start gathering around him, friends. The mandate of the church is to gather around Christ. And so let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and it says, and people started to gather around David, and they said this, success, success to you, O David. And that's how we started this building project, and that's how we're going to end this building project. Success, success to you, Jesus. You have gathered people from all around. God gathers people around the king so that we can take his kingdom forward. It says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. It says, these men were all volunteers determined to make David the king. It's quite a thing when you go into a building project, when you have a budget, when you are working with money that's coming in and money coming out. It's a different thing when you are working with sowing and reaping, when you are working with no budget, when you're not working with full-time employees, you're dealing with volunteers. What we've tried to appeal to, friends, is your determination to make Jesus the king. That is the only thing that will sustain us over any period of time, is the determination of the people that God gathers around them to make him the king. And I want to celebrate the fact that this group of people called 3CI have been fully determined to make Jesus thinking, I will come and I will go. The next group of elders will come and go. The 3CI name might come and go. But if we stay determined in a volunteer capacity to make Jesus Christ the king, we will always have success. But the success will not be ours, the success will be Christ. You'll have to read 1 Chronicles chapter 12 to 29, because we always preach on this 29, the raising of the money, but it's the pinnacle of this unbelievable process. 1 Chronicles 13 says this, David wants to get the presence of God back to Jerusalem. He knows that without the presence of God, it's meaningless. My friend Titch Smith, who runs Live Village, he started and he came and walked around there, sowing a lot of money into this building project. And he's going through all sorts of challenges as the village grows and more opportunities come to look after orphans. And we just sat on the steps of the children's ministry the other day, and the wind of the Spirit just started to blow. Both of us were just sitting and weeping as the presence of God touches. Friends, there's no point in building a building if the presence of God is not here. And David knew that before he could build a temple, before he could take up a building project, the presence of God had to be there. And friends, in the Old Testament, the presence of God was housed in the Ark of the Covenant. Two angels made from gold in the book of Exodus, two cherubim in the book of Genesis. It says those are the angels that will judge God's people. So God speaks judgment against sin. And then he creates these two angels that look downwards onto the mercy seat. And on the mercy seat was the blood of a lamb. And so, friends, the job of the angel was to judge, But they looked down on God's mercy. They saw his blood. And instead of judging, they brought God's grace and God's mercy and God's peace. And the Bible says that he dwelt there between the cherubim. That's where God dwelt. Now God dwells between his people, the presence of God. And David realized that the presence of God had to come back. Now they had to go and fetch the Ark of the Covenant from a guy called Abinadab's house. 1 Samuel 7 says this. The Ark of the Covenant was in Abinadab's house for 20 years and nothing happened in his life. Nothing changed in his life. And then they take that Ark of the Covenant and they park it off at a guy called Obed-Edom's house in 1 Chronicles 13. And in 3 months, his whole life turns around and a blessing comes upon his family that goes from generation to generation to generation to generation. I'm praying, friends, that people will not have to sit here for 20 years coming and attending our church as a congregational member. I'm praying that in 3 months' time, you can release a 1,000 generation blessing over your family. In 3 months from today, friends, your life can look completely different if you will open yourself up to the dealings of God, the Word of God, the presence of God, the Ark of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the blood of God, the peace of God. And David realized that they did it a stupid way. They brought it back with an ark, which is the way the world worked. And God said, no, you must carry it on your shoulders. They parked it, friends. And blessing upon blessing. Just Google Obed-Edom and you see the blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Friends, we want to take those who are fully determined to make Christ king. We want to house the presence of God that in 3 months, people's lineage can change. Their futures can change. Their families can change. Blessing can come over their lives. We need the presence of God desperately. Then it goes on to say a number of things. It says, David gave thanks. David prayed. These are the headings of 1 Chronicles 15, 16, 17. David gave thanks. David prayed. God gave promises. And then there were victories. David gave thanks. David prayed. God gave promises. And then there were victories. Friends, we have to stop and give thanks constantly. Thank you, God, for every person. Thank you for the big giving, Lord. Thank you for the small giving, Lord. Thank you for interrupting our lives, God. Thank you for putting the process on hold 3 years ago. Thank you that we started at the right time. Thank you, Lord God, for the builders that we chose. Funder Linda Fenter, you've been amazing. This hat comes from Choose Life Church. They came and gave us a lot of money for our building. Our architects went and designed their coffee shop. They've just started a coffee shop called Life Cafe. We went there yesterday to the opening. They said to us, thank you, 3CR, for helping us design our coffee shop. I want to say thank you to you, Choose Life, for partnering with us. Thank you, Dr. Deo, for partnering with us. Thank you, Anthem. Thank you, Link. Thank you, Glenridge. Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you, Doha Fellowship. Thank you for partnering. Thank you, Red Point Church. Thank you, Life Changers. We've got to stop and say thank you. Thank you for inconveniencing yourself. Thank you, members of this church. Thank you for not upgrading your cars. Thank you for not choosing to change your house. Thank you for taking salary sacrifices. Thank you for putting your bonuses in here. Friends, it's for one reason, to make people determined to make Jesus king, to house the presence of God, to see the promises of God come, to touch and to change people's lives. Thank you. Thank you. And then the Bible says God promised them things. Friends, God has promised us that we're going to touch the nations of the world from this little church. God's prophesied. He did it years ago when Ashley and Nadine Bell got in their little combi. You know, friends, their steering wheel didn't even work. He took a Bobby Yarn spanner. He drove up to Pretoria with a Bobby Yarn spanner because that's all they could afford at that time. He drove up to Pretoria with a Bobby Yarn spanner, steering his combi and his little family. Thank you, Ashley Bell. God gave you promises. He sent people, the Munningses, Geraldine and Rudy, and your family who are still in the church, Sarah, and all those, the Donkins. And we think of you now, Rob. As you mourn the loss of your dad this week, you are here in the foundation of this church. Thank you, God. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the presence of God. Thank you for the opportunities. Thank you for the prophecies. Thank you for the proclamations, God. Thank you for all those trips that Grant Askham led in Land Rovers, lines of Land Rovers going into Africa, men and women serving, making meals. Thank you, God. Thank you for every vehicle that's been sown in here. Just even recently, to Mozambique and Zimbabwe, men and women drop their 4x4s off here. Say, take my vehicle. Thank you. The people of God, the presence of God, the promises of God, the prophecy of God, the proclamation of God. We have not invested into brick and mortar. We've invested into the opportunity of God to launch his kingdom from this little piece of property in Saul Street. Thank you, partners. To God be the glory. All of this stuff belongs to you, Father. But we do need willing leaders. And we do need willing people who rejoice at participating in the process of building this wonderful building. But Lord God, as it says in 1 Chronicles 29, this is not for man, but for you, Lord God. If you continue to read the book of Chronicles, the first thing that gets restored is the Levites and the priests. Friends, the first thing in any project that gets restored is the priesthood of God. I am not the priest. The elders are not the priests. We are not the ones in charge of this way. Every single person is a priest of God. Read Chronicles. First we get the people, then we get the presence, then we get the promises, and then we get the priesthood. Every person is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Every person has got access to God. Every person in our church has been empowered to minister. Whether you minister selling cars, or whether you minister in a dentist's laboratory, or you minister in a professorship, or whether you minister as a mother, you are a minister. You are a priest, anointed and enabled by God to do what he wants you to do. I was speaking to a man this morning at breakfast, a man from Durban. He is a businessman. He's in the medical world. He feels like his ministry is in a canoeing club. And after many years in a canoeing club, he walked outside and there was an alcoholic man there. And he said to him, he said, "Sir, you have a leadership gift upon your life. You have a calling upon your life. When you get drunk, everybody follows you." He says, "You're a leader, but you're leading them in the wrong direction." The next day, that man gave up drinking. He has not missed one day in the bar. He still stands in the bar. He drinks water in the bar. He drinks Diet Coke in the bar. But friends, he is leading people to Christ because one man whose ministry is in the canoeing club, a priest in the canoeing club, set one man free. Who sets another man free, who sets another man free, who sets another man free. I pray that we have not built a preaching center here where one or two or five people stand up here, but that we have built a training center so that you might understand that you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to enact the kingdom of God wherever God has placed you. You are a priest in Christ. God has anointed you. God has raised you up. He might have given you a PhD degree, or you've earned a PhD degree. You might be a medical doctor or a specialist or an advocate or an economist, but you are a priest and you need to operate in the fullness of what God has designed you for. Friends, it carries on in 1 Chronicles. David actually makes a major mistake. He starts counting people. He starts counting his army. And sometimes we do that in the church. And people say things like this: "How big is your church? How many leaders have you got? How many churches have you planted?" Those are worldly metrics. And David in that moment does not represent Christ. He represents the human heart that wants to gloat or boast in seeming success. Friends, the success of the church is not measured by numbers. Let's not ask how many seated did we build? How many home groups do we have? How many people got saved? Those are not the metrics by which we measure our success. The metrics by which we measure our success are people looking and acting more like Jesus? It is the only metric. It doesn't matter how big we are. It doesn't matter how many churches we have. Are people acting and looking and behaving more like Jesus? That is our metric. Success, success to you, O Christ. Success, success to you. I'm here, Lord God, fully determined to make you the King. And I pray we never go into the trap of what a mega church looks like. I pray, Lord God, we will never measure by how much we give or how big we become or how many we plant. Oh, friends, we have to make sure. It's so easy to slip into the ways of the world. We've got to make sure that our metric is that we raise up men who honor women, who are gentle with their wives, who lay down their lives. We raise up men and women who are non-racial. They have no discrimination inside of their hearts. They treat people with equal capacity, not based on color of skin or education qualification. We treat people like Christ does. We raise up men and women who are brave to stand in the face of injustice. We will not allow unfairness to take place. We will treat people with respect. We will not gossip and slander. We will give forgiveness and gentleness and humility wherever we can. We will take ourselves out the center. We will not become self-indulgent, petulant adolescents, but mature believers. Mature believers following God's way. Let's make sure that as we've invested this money, that the metric will not become human. That we won't even boast and say, look what we've done in COVID. We've done nothing. Everything belongs to you, O God. Everything belongs to you. Then we see this amazing plan in 1 Chronicles 28, or just before that, 1 Chronicles 27, it says the army arises. He puts the priesthood in place. He puts the worshippers in place. And then he puts the army in place. We mustn't get confused between the army of the Old Testament and the army of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they had swords and spears. In the New Testament, we have different weapons. Forgiveness, love, gentleness, kindness, hand grenades of love, hand grenades of forgiveness, hand grenades of patience and kindness and gentleness. God is raising up an army, but not an army that roars and shouts. Imagine if every gay person in this city heard that there was a church that would embrace them, love them, care for them, pray with them, support them, journey with them, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, answer questions, cry with them, take their pain, apologize where the church has messed up. Imagine that. Imagine raising an army like that, where broken people feel welcome. And people who have messed up their lives and got embraced. Just like that son who came home and his father embraced him. Imagine if we just met all sorts of delinquents at the top of the staircase. Imagine raising an army like that. That's worth investing in. 1 Chronicles 28, God gives the plan to a young and inexperienced man, Solomon. God's got a plan. He wants to build a church. The kingdom of God is bigger than the church, but the church is a vehicle of the kingdom of God. So God uses a young man, Ferdinand Lagrange, a young and inexperienced man, a man who's never built a building this size. He puts alongside him a lady called Lynn, another man called Eugene, alongside them, and the three of them together form a team. They take the plan and they start implementing. He puts some builders, Van der Linde Venter. He puts them all together to start building this thing. And then he says, I'm going to use all these volunteers who are willingly and sacrificially and wholeheartedly give their provision into this. And out of this ground comes this building. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. From every eldership member, thank you. From Pete and Rindy, from Matt and Jess, from Andy and Irene, from Eugene and Wendy, from Stephen and Kath, from Clint and Ellen, from Rory and Mel, thank you. Thank you for participating. I want to thank my fellow elders for the incredible example that they've set, for the amazing way that they've sacrificed. I want to thank every home group leader for holding the flag up high. I can see some of your faces right now. I thank God for you every day. The Sonnepools, the Mons, we can just keep going through the list. The Shipleys, Ricky, the Phillipses, the Phillipses for praying. Over 100 prayer meetings every single Friday praying for this project. Thank you. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. The Owens, the Goslings. And we could just keep going through the list. If you felt left out, may God reward you. But Lord God, strength and honor and wealth and power and might and all comes from you. How, Lord, can we be so generous? It all comes from your hand. And so, friends, we're going to close this little open hand series with this little verse of scripture in 1 Chronicles 29. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord. The people of God, the presence of God, the promises of God, the priesthood of God, the plans of God, the provisions of God, gold and silver and money and bulls and sheep and cows and cars, all comes together. And we fall prostrate before you, Lord Jesus, and say, all praise be to you, God. Take this project. I pray it would not be ever measured in human metrics. I pray, Lord God, we would take no glory for it, Lord God. We would take no honor or praise. What has happened here, Lord God, has been a supernatural move of God through willing and generous participants who are committed to fully making you the king. I pray, Lord God, as David, in the midst of the ark coming back into Jerusalem, it says he took off his robe and he danced joyfully before the Lord. He celebrated joyfully, it says in Chronicles. In 2 Samuel 6, Lord God, his wife looked down and she despised him in her heart. Father, may the dignity of a human being never ever determine the way that I dance. And David said, I will be even more radical. I will be even more undistinguished than this. But my dignity will not be determined by a human being. I desire to make God the king. We used to sing a song, and I will be even more undignified than this. Na 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 na. Hey! I pray, friends, that this would be a place of freedom where the presence of God will touch people, where people would be free to dance and not be held by the societal standards of what worship looks like, but what the scripture looks like. I want to dance like David danced, powerfully, mightily, in front of people, in front of the Lord, and not worry about the perspective of humankind. I want to be freed of the metric and standards of this world. I want to be free too of being some kind of priest at the top of a pinnacle. We are all priests. And so, Lord God, we bring this season to an end by saying, praise the Lord our God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and they fell prostrate before the Lord. Father, as a 3CR community, as our partners listening, we take everything over these last 2 years and we bow down before you and say, be glorified, Lord Jesus, be glorified. This building is not for us. This building is for you. God bless you, 3CR. Thank you. Willing and generous participants, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God look after you. May God savor you. May He protect you. May He bless you. And bless you, and bless you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.